Well, turning your Bibles tonight to James chapter 1, verse 5. We'll read the text and then keep your Bible open because we want to see how it is applied in a few passages of Scripture that will be helpful to us tonight. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, tonight is prayer meeting, and you pray for missionary prayer requests, and you pray for other prayer requests that are presented to the congregation in this meeting. And James chapter 1, verse 5 says one of the things we ought to be praying for is wisdom. And tonight what I'd like to do is talk to you for just a few minutes about praying for practical wisdom, wisdom that will help you work. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to guide us through our study tonight, and then we'll continue. Brother Pena, will you pray for us, please? Amen. Amen. So it is in fact true that we all pray. When we pray for many things. But when you're doing something for the Lord or doing something in your family and you approach the Lord about something in prayer, be sure to pray for wisdom in addition to those other things that you're praying for. Because we need practical wisdom in order to accomplish the work that God has for us to do. With wisdom, notice what happens. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Notice what this wisdom does. I mean, when I think about prayer, you say, pray for, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You get the idea that what's the wisdom for? Well, one of the things that the wisdom is for is that it helps you to work smarter, not harder. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, look at verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Well, here's a guy that's getting ready to use an axe. And since you just heard about flying off the handle, this ought to all be really fresh on your mind. Here's a guy that's getting ready to use an axe or a hatchet to cut some wood. And whetting the edge, if you're not familiar with that term, is to sharpen it. So if the iron is blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. He's going to have to work harder because the axe or the hatchet is blunt. Well, that tells us something then. When you have something to do, some job to do, or particularly something to do for the Lord, don't jump into that job without praying first. I mean, there's always that temptation being task-oriented. Okay, this is what you want me to do. Let's go do it. You ought to stop and pray for wisdom first. Because when you stop and pray for wisdom first, when the Lord gives you that wisdom, you're going to work smarter. Pastor Keck and I were talking when he was here the last time in August, and I asked him what I should anticipate if I'm still alive 13 years from now and still in the ministry 13 years from now and Jesus hadn't come 13 years from now. You know, what should I expect? Give me some wisdom. And he rattled off a number of things. One of the things he said is, I have found that I get a lot more done today through prayer than I do through action. Well, you know, he had to get older in order to learn that, because the glory of young men is their strength. and we have a tendency just to barrel into things. And when we get older and we can't run so fast, we take more time to pray, and then we learn something that we probably wish we'd had known when we were younger, and that is, if I'd spend more time in prayer before going into the action, then I'm going to get more done with the action. In this case, a person who might have prayed about chopping wood would be directed by wisdom to take time first to sharpen the axe. Well, let's say he only has a little bit of time to get the job done. Now, at first he might question God and say, wait a minute, I only have this much time to get this job done, and you're saying now I need to add yet another chore? In the same period of time, I'm going to stop and sharpen this axe and then cut the wood? Well, initially it would seem like what you're doing is taking away from completing your task by adding the task of sharpening the axe. But you already know the answer, because the sharper the axe is, the more efficiently you're going to cut the wood, and you're not going to be as tired when you get done. So in the end, you're going to probably finish the job sooner, depending on how long this job was going to last. And more importantly, you're not going to be worn out, so that you will be ready for the next task that you have to do. And you're going to find, working with wisdom before you work, you're going to get more done for the Lord. And it's not going to take such a toll on you doing it. You're going to work smarter, not harder, and that's really, really good. So whenever you're thinking about doing something for the Lord, just stop and say, Lord, give me the wisdom to be able to accomplish this the best way. Some of you guys are in your work. Like, I'm just looking around here, you know, quickly. You got mechanics and former plumber and people that do various things with the occupations that you have. You know, sometimes if you look back on the day, you know, if I'd have stopped and prayed about that, I probably wouldn't have gotten sidetracked with this, or I would have known to get that tool or whatever. And smarter is certainly better than harder. All right, with wisdom, not only do you work smarter, not harder, but with wisdom, you work within the Lord's provision. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. You work within the Lord's provision. This is very important. If the Lord has a job for you to do, and He makes the provision for that job, and you don't have the wisdom to recognize that the provision of the Lord is sufficient for that job, you may think you can't get the job done because you don't have enough provision to do it the way that your mind imagines it needs to be done. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Receive my instruction, wisdom says, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things thou mayest may be desired are not to be compared to it. Much of what we do for the Lord takes money. You're hearing from missionaries every Wednesday night, and they need a lot of money. It's a big deal to the Elsies that 13 churches have taken them on, and there are plans for them to leave shortly to go to Bolivia, and nice to know they've got the money to be able to do that. So usually what happens when somebody has a task, something they're going to do for the Lord that's going to take money, build a building, buy a piece of property, buy a vehicle, whatever the case may be, usually what happens is they go to find out what it's going to cost them to do that. We're praying for missionaries right now, some of whom are looking for land and things like that, and they'll say, well, we're trying to raise money, you know, $40,000 to buy this piece of land, or $100,000 to buy the piece of land, or $35,000 to buy this vehicle, or whatever. They know what it's going to cost. They know what they're looking for. So what they'll do is they'll find out that cost. That's not hard to do. That's the way they usually start. And then they try to raise the money to pay for it. And in order to do that, they'll write supporters. And we get these prayer letters, and Randy will read the updates, but he rarely reads the I need money and I need it now portion of the deal, unless there's an indication perhaps that the Lord would have us do something to meet that need. So they write supporters. if they're pastoring churches like I am, they start pressuring church members. Maybe they'll put a big thermometer on the wall and have fundraisers and cards and other kind of things like that. Just put a little pressure on the church members. Might go solicit some friends if they know some people that have money. Might even go down to the bank and borrow some money. Because I've got this job to do. It's going to cost this much. I need this much money. And so a lot of guys that are building buildings and churches will go down to the bank and negotiate for a loan. Or they'll use some similar means to raise the money. You know what, though? He'd be better off to pray first. He'd be better off to pray first before even going and getting a budget on how much this thing is going to cost and ask the Lord to give him the wisdom. That's what we're praying for. The wisdom to work within the Lord's provision. That's very important. Very important to work within the Lord's provision. Let me ask you something. If the Lord's leading you to do a certain thing, do you think that the Lord's going to provide the means to do that thing? Do you believe that? I mean, I really believe that. We've seen evidence of it here in our lives. We've seen evidence of that in our church. I believe that. I believe the Lord makes provision for the things that he wants done. Well, if that's true, then what happens when you pray for wisdom, you find that the Lord will provide what's needed to get the task done. That may be very different than what's been budgeted. That may be very different than what's been anticipated. You see the guy may say, okay, what I need this vehicle, and it's going to cost $40,000. The Lord makes provision, but that may not be the vehicle. It may be something totally, it may be used for half the price. You say, well, I wouldn't buy a used vehicle in that country. Well, if the Lord had given wisdom and direction toward that and had made the provision for that, the man would be unwise to go out and scrape together another $20,000 over the $20,000 he was given to buy the vehicle that the Lord didn't want him to have. So you need wisdom to be able to do that. We see indications, just because guys have been in the ministry a long time doesn't necessarily mean they're smart. I guess I should say, just because we've been in the ministry a long time doesn't necessarily mean we're smart. I don't put that on somebody else. We all have the Lord is smart. And you can get done what the Lord wants done if you've got his wisdom to do that, more than you rely upon your own resources. That's why he says, wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Because if you've got that, you may find out I don't need all that money to get this thing done. So that's important. Here's another thing about wisdom. Go back to our text, James chapter 1. And look at the context of our text. This is all of these are very important, but James chapter 1, look at verses 3, 4, and 5. The context, we read verse 5, but look at there's a context here. It starts actually in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and so forth. So there's in the context of asking for wisdom from God, there is patience. There's patience. So wisdom, then, will allow you to work smarter, not harder. Just because you're making a lot of noise doesn't mean you're accomplishing anything. Just because you're cutting a bunch of lumber doesn't mean you're not getting any closer to finishing your house. So working smarter than harder. You're working within the Lord's provision. And then wisdom, with wisdom, you will work within the Lord's timing. Within the Lord's timing. Patience and wisdom. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. A bunch of folks joined up with David as Saul was going down and David was rising into power. there were a lot of men from around Israel that started to join themselves with him. And so when David had gone to Hebron and the kingdom of Saul was turning to him, there were children of Judah. We're in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We're going to go down to verse 32. I'm up in verse 24 right now. Children of Judah, verse 25, children of Simeon, 26, children of Levi. Verse 29, children of Benjamin, 30, children of Ephraim. Verse 31, half the tribe of Manasseh. Verse 32, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men, watch it, that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. These were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Well, we have to have patience. We have to have wisdom to wait on the Lord's timing. The longer that I've been in the ministry, the more I understand, or beginning to see anyway, I'm sure that I fully understand it, but beginning to see, if this stuff is all from the Lord, then everything hinges on God's timing. Amen. Everything hinges on God's timing. And it's very important for us to have the wisdom to know what that is. We have some personal experience with it here in the church, but as I consider other people that are in the ministry and some of your own lives, you may sense, well, for instance, we had a missionary here recently, and he was called to his mission field and excited about going to his mission field. And as soon as he was able, he raised up as much support as he could in a short period of time and went to his mission field and just about ruined his family over his hasty departure. They did not have enough money to live. Therefore, they did not have enough money for anything in the ministry. And the strains on his life and his family's life exacerbated the normal problems that you would have in this country being married, compounded by being in another country, and finally they had to come off the field. And he wasn't sure if he was a failure, if he misunderstood God's call. Fortunately, he had a very good pastor. He went back to his home church. His pastor spent a great deal of time with him. And they confirmed, in fact, that the Lord did want him on that mission field, but that he went out undersupported and ill-prepared for what he was going to experience there on the field. So this time he took his time. He was very careful about making sure that he had sufficient provision. He had his family prepared. They went back down there, and it was like being in a totally different situation. And so his family was able to handle the hardships that were still there. They had the finances that were necessary, and they got work done in the ministry and some souls saved. And then they were able to come back and get some more more furlough and some more money to go down and continue on. And now they've got a church there. That's, you know what that is? That's just having the wisdom to work within the Lord's timing. We mention it to you from time to time, but just because you know there's something that you think the Lord wants you to do one of these days, today may not be one of these days. That one of these days is going to be a little bit further down the road. Let me give you an example. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Just because the Lord has worked in somebody else's life quickly, just because the Lord has done something in your life a certain way, doesn't necessarily mean that you can assume that God's going to do that same thing in your life the second time or in the same way or in the same time. 2 Samuel chapter 5, look at verse 17. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal-perazim, And David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim, or Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up." Well, yeah, but last time I inquired, you said, "Go get them." Yeah, well, I don't want you to do it this time. Don't go up. "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." You know what the implication is? Lord wasn't going out. If you try that same deal this time, it's not going to work. You're going to have to come behind them, and you're going to have to wait. And the signal is you'll hear the sound of the mulberry trees. Then go. "Then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." So David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. So it's very important to be working in the Lord's timing. And wisdom will help you to understand what that is. So with wisdom, you work smarter, not harder. You work within the Lord's provision. You work within the Lord's timing. Also, with wisdom, you work with little and accomplish a lot. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and look at verse 13. In other words, with wisdom, it doesn't take as much as it would if you weren't working with the Lord's wisdom. You can work with little and accomplish a lot. And Zechariah says, "Who hath despised the day of small things?" Ecclesiastes chapter 9, look at verse 13. "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it." Well, you know, to totally besiege a city and then build great bulwarks against it, you got a pretty sizable army. "Now there was found in it, in that little city, a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." Notice what he said here. That wise man in that city in verse 15 delivered that city. Delivered that city. Well, that's a little city. That's a poor man. And yet with his wisdom, he was able to accomplish something that you would have assumed would have required this city to have achieved in an alliance with a much stronger army. You see, in this little city with this few men was besieged by this great king and a large army, and yet they did not ally themselves, this little city, with some greater army to come in and defend them. They were delivered by the wisdom of that poor wise man. You know what you do? When you pray for wisdom, and it may take you a little while to get it. It's not like one of these things you're going to get on your knees and 5 minutes later you're going to have all the wisdom you need to go forward. You may have to be there a while. When you pray for wisdom, you often find that the Lord shows you how to accomplish what He wants in a way that other men couldn't even imagine. The Lord has ways of working these things out. Let me give you an example. Jesus Christ was just one poor man. He didn't have a home to dwell in. All of his possessions were on his back the day that he went to the cross, and those were taken from him. That's a poor man. Jesus, the Bible tells us, left his riches in glory and became poor that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. He was a poor man. Nevertheless, he accomplished the work of redemption for the entire world. One poor man. a ransom for the billions of people that are sinners in this earth. That's an amazing thing. But that's God's wisdom. Now, men look at that and they consider that foolishness. God looks at that and thinks, I did a whole lot with a little bit right there, didn't I? Didn't take much. With wisdom, therefore, you're not stopped before you ever get started. Some people, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I can't do that. I don't have enough education. I can't do that. I'm not whatever. If God's in it, and you are following God's wisdom to do whatever it is He wants you to do, then you're big enough with God. But that's what His wisdom will do. You work with little and accomplish a lot. So wisdom is a great thing. And before you run off doing things, major things, jobs, school, marriage, ministries, moves, pray for God's wisdom. Pray for God's wisdom. And then listen, when you pray for His wisdom, work with His wisdom. You're in Ecclesiastes, look at chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is as at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. And he saith to everyone that he is a fool. It is foolish to neglect to pray for the wisdom of God. And once God has given you His wisdom, it is foolish to forsake the wisdom of God. It's like dead flies in the ointment. Sticky. Yeah, just take your time. Find out what God wants you to do. Follow His wisdom. And you'll get the thing done. Amen. Father, thank You tonight for an opportunity to gain some wisdom from the words of God. Help us to work with the wisdom that You've made available to us. Help us to be wise to ask You for it and not move till we get it and then work within it. For we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.